And then came the feast of dedication. I'm reading from John 10, verses 22 through 30. We've got a long way to go this morning and not a lot of time to get there. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. The feast of dedication was actually a miracle. It was Hanukkah. There was only enough oil for the candles to burn for one day, but miraculously they burned for 8 days. So this is the feast of dedication, the miracle of Hanukkah. It was held in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. It was inside. It was winter. It was absolutely beautiful. You can just imagine in your mind the king's garden. And they had Jesus trapped, much like I have you for the next few minutes, trapped. Now, you can leave if you want to, but I wouldn't if I were you. I'm just kidding. But so the Jews, they have Jesus trapped. They're inside in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you. But you don't believe, simply because not everyone who hears, hears." Lord, open our hearts and minds by the very power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Savior calls through the Holy Scripture, we may hear with joy what you would say to us this day to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you don't believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." May God add his blessings to the hearing and to the heeding of his holy word. Amen. This is a question, and I want you to answer me this morning, right here in the context of worship. What makes it hard to hear? What makes it so hard to hear? Background noise? Yeah. We have a person on our staff, I won't mention any names, but the regular noises of the day are too distracting. So we went to Walmart and bought a noise machine. There's better noise than other noise, so we took the regular noise of the day and we replaced it with better noise. Go figure. Yeah, background noise, it makes it hard to hear. What else makes it hard to hear? Not wanting to. And now we step right into arm to arm with the Jews. We're fifth generation Jews. We know how God moves. Are you with me? We know when God speaks, and that's not God. Fifth generation understanding can breed a difficulty in hearing. Familiarity indeed breeds contempt. What else makes it hard to hear? Thank you. I was just fixing to say pride. Yeah, I've heard that. I've been going to that church for a year, and he's never said anything I haven't heard. In fact, I've read that book, I've done this, I've done that. Pride, I really, frankly, there's not much left for me to learn. Pride. It can keep us from hearing. You with me? What about ego? Well, if I didn't hear it, I knew it all anyway. There's nothing new for me out there. I can't hear what's being said. What about the spiritual gift? And I think this is more common to men than women. But hang in there, you've seen it in operation. The spiritual gift of selective listening. I don't know how it happens. I mean, this is like this internal thing that some things are said and we nod in agreement. We don't a bit more hear than the man in the moon. And then there are things when we do hear them. It's selective listening. Men, look at me. This is very important. It's a spiritual gift. Hang in there. Hang in there. What else could keep us from hearing? What about earwax? Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. Did he say that? Absolutely. My dad used to say it to me when I was a little boy. He had this theory. He wasn't even a doctor or a chemist or anything. He was just a good old-fashioned dad. And he would say things to me, "Do you understand?" "Yes, sir." "Yes, sir, I understand." And then I'd turn around and do the exact opposite of what he said. And then he would put his theory into practice. He thought that if he warmed up the fireplace which was located kind of in this particular area, because sometimes the ashes in the fireplace would go a little dormant. And if you shake the fireplace a little bit, the dormant, they'll burst back into flames. Are you with me? And when they burst back into flames, it heats your whole body, including your ears. And when your ears are heated, the wax melts, and miraculously, you can hear. Sometimes earwax keeps us from hearing. But this is where we enter into the text today. Jesus was speaking, and they heard, but they could not hear. What was Jesus saying that they could not hear? Come. Jesus was calling the Jews to come. God doesn't call people. God pursues people to wipe them out. God keeps a cosmic ledger. And when you get enough black marks, God comes and sees you in a way you'd rather not. God doesn't call you. They could not hear what Jesus was saying when Jesus was calling them. How many of us have a kind of communicative process with God? You know, they're all different, but since God created us, He knows exactly how to communicate with us. In the men's Bible study yesterday morning, we went to a different place, y'all, I'm telling you. It was like the shepherd took our hands as men and led us to a little bit greener pasture, led us to waters that were very, very still, and the Spirit had His way in our hearts. One of the men said, I don't know. It's like when I'm working outside and I'm doing something and thinking something, it's just this feeling I get that all is welledness. And I just know that God is calling out to me. Another person said, well, when I go out in nature, like Friday afternoon before the men's breakfast, I looked up and there was an osprey. Oh, I could have reached up and stroked her underbelly. She was so close. And I watched her for 3 full minutes and she never moved her wings. She was just riding that gale force wind that God provided and subtly cupping her wings and up and down. And oh, for me, God was just communicating with me, saying, I'm holding you in the palm of my hand, just like I'm holding that osprey aloft with the wind that I send. It was amazing. Another gentleman said, I was beginning a prestigious career, and I was at a prestigious school on the way to another prestigious school to continue a career, and the wheels came off. I had a crisis of faith, and I found myself disoriented in the place that I was. And then God sent a friend. And this friend shared with me and prayed with me and reminded me to read the Scripture. And he said, I began to read the Scripture. The Scripture began to read me. And by that I mean I opened the book of God's love letter. And the words were jumping off the page. I couldn't get enough. How many of you have a sponge for washing your car? No, the sponge. When it's car washing time, honey, have you seen the sponge? That sponge. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I couldn't find one. We were living in Cary, and I couldn't find the sponge. And it was time to wash the car. And I searched the garage, and it had fallen off the bucket in the corner. And if a sponge sits on dry concrete long enough with no water, it will dry rot. And if you just reach down there and grab it, it'll crumble in your hand. Or if you try to pull it up, it'll just tear it to pieces. You with me? How in the world are we going to get this sponge resaturated, rehydrated? Hey, son, when I tell you to turn the water on, turn the water on. And we're in the garage with the water hose, about a quarter-inch stream. Turn it on halfway, and he did. And the water stream went right onto that dried-out sponge. And for 4 full seconds, no water came out of the sponge. It was being completely absorbed. Where's the water going? Well, it's being internalized. The word jumped off the page and was hydrating my soul. And in that moment, I heard the voice of God calling to me. Friends, God is calling to you. What's the language that He's speaking? to call out to you. The Jews couldn't hear it. God doesn't call. Show us. Tell us if you're the Christ or not. I did, and you don't believe me. Jesus is calling out to us. The second point I want to make is that Jesus saves and Jesus protects. We understand completely self-preservation. We don't understand a whole lot about the preservation of selflessness. We understand completely what it means to be selfish, but we have difficulty understanding the preservation of being selfless. And Jesus says, I get it. Let me tell a little story. It's like a shepherd and a hireling. The shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep, for the stinking, miserable, dumb sheep. By the way, that he receives his livelihood through, the good shepherd would lay his life down for the sheep. The hireling, on the other hand, when the coyote or the wolf comes and he's in personal danger, we exit stage right, because he doesn't really care about the sheep. But the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus earlier in chapter 10 says, I'm the door. The heck does he mean by that? Well, in the Holy Land, we've seen one of those natural corrals. It would be stone or bushes or sticks or trees. And literally at night, because there were so few shepherds, there may be four or five flocks, and five men can't guard that many. So they would combine all the sheep together in one corral. And the shepherd would literally lay across the door, the opening, the closing. So no wild animals came in and no crazy sheep went out, and everything was protected and good. Jesus is saying to the Jews who could not hear, I am the God who saves and protects. I lay down my life for the sheep. Years ago, a dentist, James Reddick, decided it would be cool one winter to introduce or to reintroduce his 12-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son to snow backpacking. They were in Washington State in Mount Rainier, and you can imagine what happened. He was prepared, but they got caught off guard in this amazing blizzard, life-threatening, and he didn't know what he was going to do until he began to think. And he took off his backpack, and he pulled out his mess kit. You've seen them, the silver things, that you can never get back in there like it came. And he pulled out the mess plate, and he dug a trough as best as he could, deep enough for all three of them. And then his son and daughter, he made them get in the sleeping bag that they had brought along and get to the rear of the little trough. And he had a little tarp he was trying to hold over the hole. And the wind and the snow kept blowing the tarp away, and it kept coming in. They were in danger of freezing to death. So he did the only thing the good shepherd could do, the only thing a father could do, the same that you and I would do as parents without a moment's hesitation. Why? Because we'd give our lives for our children. And he laid in front of that opening with his back to the cold. And 2 days later, it wasn't search and rescue anymore, it was recovery. And one of the workers thought they saw the shape of a backpack in the snow, and certainly it was. And they found his son and daughter well and alive, but Dad had frozen to death. He had literally laid in the hole and took the cold. Lay down his life as a father, as a good shepherd, because of the love of his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. And the Jews could not hear Jesus calling to them. They could not comprehend that when Jesus calls, and by the grace of God, we take the next step, that Jesus then saves and protects his sheep. Lastly, if Jesus calls and saves and protects, Jesus holds us. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's a great place to be. Because when we leave in just a few minutes, we're going to leave in the same old tension that we came in. Somewhere between, it's all about me, I have to do all I can, or the other extreme, I'm not going to do anything. It's all about the grace of God. I'll wait and let God do it all. But somewhere between what we do and God working through us is where we find ourselves held in the Father's hand. and no one is able to snatch us out of the Father's hand as we live this life of faith. 1972, Mom said to me before I go to bed, "Now, honey, tomorrow's going to be a little bit different. You're not going to Huntingtown Farms Elementary." What do you mean, Mom? It's a quarter of a mile away. That's where we've been ever since we lived here. No, tomorrow's different. I want you to go up to the Marston's house about 6:45 and look for a yellow bus, bus 467. And they're gonna take you to Bruns Avenue Elementary, 22 miles away. And the boys and girls on that side of town are going to come to Huntingtown Farms. And this is called, honey, integration. And I was petrified. And my grandmother sensed it. And before I went to school that day, she came in and she said, "I want you to have this. Close your eyes and open your hand." I closed my eyes and opened my hand. And she put something metallic and cold in it, and I closed my hand. And when she left, I opened it. It was a 1972 Dwight David Eisenhower silver dollar. They only made them 71 through 79. And it was brand spanking new. And somehow seeing that coin encouraged me. It relieved my anxiety, and just to know it was in my pocket. And when I needed a little shot of courage, I could pull it out of my pocket and just ever so cool so nobody would notice, look at that coin in the palm of my hand, and felt so encouraged and confident. Near the end of the day, a young guy that was later one of my dearest friends saw I had something in my pocket, and he said, "So what you got in your pocket?" I said, "Nothing." He was longer than me. He had a body like I thought I had and didn't. He said, "I'm going to ask you one more time, what you got in your pocket?" And I said, "Well, I've got this 1972 Dwight David Eisenhower shiny silver dollar my grandmother gave me." And I opened it up. He snatched it out of my hand. And I never saw it again. We're up against so much in that life out there. But Jesus is calling out to us. Can you hear him? And once we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and by the grace of God, we take that next step, we can understand that it's God himself who saves us and protects us. It's like being in the palm of the Father's hand and someone trying to snatch us away, and they can't. Because no one whom the Father gives to Jesus can snatch us from that place of eternal security. Sometimes it's hard to hear, man. I mean, for any number of reasons. Selective listening, pride, ego, background noise. Bought a machine for better noise. Earwax. For whatever reason, we can't hear the God of the universe calling out to us. Strange, isn't it? Not everyone who hears. Do you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.